prayerful attention as he gives the message of the hour.
Thank you, Bob. We all need those prayers at all times. They're a help to everybody, really. We should be a prayerful people. Give glory to our Lord, just like the song said, adore him. And just like our brother mentioned this morning, you know, be joyous that Christ came into the world to give us salvation. I want to start here in the 29th chapter of Isaiah, one we're all familiar with. And I will start here with verse number 9 right now and read a little. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Now this is referring to the people here of the world years back, that they stagger because they're hunting for the word of God. They don't have it. They're like they are drunk. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers has he covered. And so it is. During the Dark Ages, this is where I believe it refers to, the Dark Ages particularly, there was no gospel on the land at that time. In fact, they didn't even have the scriptures down through some of the Dark Ages. They didn't have any. They were forbidden to read out of the Bible that used to be among them. But anyway, that deep sleep is because of the gospel not being there among the people. And so, you know, the Lord didn't give them the admonition by the Spirit of the Lord. They didn't have any prophets at that time giving them admonition, guidance of what the Lord desires. That it didn't happen. And so they wandered from sea to sea, and they didn't do too good. I'd like to go into the book of Amos. That is, if I can find it. Here we go. Amos, the 8th chapter. And I'd like to read a verse or two here. It says, begin in the verse 11 here in Amos. And thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. And Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy. You know, I said, chapter 8. Let me get in chapter 8. But anyway, you know, he fled there. And they finally went and caught him and put him to death. 8th chapter, let us start over again, 11th verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And so that is true. During the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church had supreme control of everything and there was no word from the Lord. In fact, as I said, they were even forbidden to read the Bible. The Lord, they didn't want them to read that. And so that is the way it did go. Not only them at that time, you know, but during the Dark Ages this happened. But this also happened with Israel as well. You know, it happens to anybody. it's happening to this nation as well today, you know. The evil is creeping in more and more all the time. I'm just amazed at what I see and what I read. It's not good. But I'd like to go back to the second book of Chronicles, 7th chapter. And begin here on verse 19 and read a few verses. You know, it wasn't just during the Catholics' time or Dark Ages that they didn't have the word, but here, you know, they had it, but they rejected it, and as a nation, they turned away from the Lord. Verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, shall go and serve their other gods and worship them. Then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and the house and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. And so this is what happened to Israel and Judah as well, because they forsook the word of God. Excuse me. That's what's happening today. The people of the world are forsaking the Lord. And it's not good. Just like ancient Israel. We have a good pattern here to see what took place and why it takes place. That's why we should follow the Lord and give him the honor and glory that is due unto him. And be happy that we know the Lord and can give him that glory. I often wonder in reading there in Samuel, 1 Samuel, you know, when Samuel was among the people there, they had troubles with the Philistines. And if you remember, they had a war and they captured the Ark of the Lord. And they took it into their cities and it didn't do very good. They put it in the house of their God and, you know, their God fell down before them. The Ark of the Lord more than once, so they wondered what to do. You know, the Lord smote the house of the Philistines very much, very hard. And they seen that the Lord's wrath was upon them. And so they call all the lords and want to know what to do. And they says, well, we should make some a trespass and send some an offering to him. And so that's what they done. But in all this time, they said, you know, the Lord is angry with us. Like it was with Egypt, the Lord was angry. His anger come upon him and smote him. He says, and the Philistine says, let us not be hard in heart like they were. Let us be that which is good and send a trespass to the Lord that he can not smite us anymore. Well, they did that, and they made a new cart and got a couple of young cattle and loaded up the ark and had it to turn it loose to see where it go. And so it went back, got back into Judah eventually, but you know, at first it didn't. I forget the name of the place that it stopped there, but it stopped there, and the people offered up the cattle and all of that and took the cart and for the wood to burn it up, and you know, they were smitten. That's Israel. Why were they smitten? Because they was not following the Lord. They were evil. They were worshiping the gods of the world and not the Lord. And so 50,000 of the Israelites fell, plus, because they had fallen away and not doing that which is right. And the Lord smote them, just like he did the Philistines. And so, but anyway, it finally went on back up to Judah where it should be, and that stopped. But we must give the Lord that honor and glory that is due unto him and keep his commandments. When they do, all is well, the people are well. Israel would not have been scattered, but they were all scattered eventually. And you know, the Lord took out from them different tribes and scattered them here and there. And so the Nephites, you know, were some of them that were brought out. And they come to this land. The Lord just didn't up and say, hey, presto, here in America. But they had to travel all that time and do that themselves. The Lord was with them, and when they were obedient, the Lord blessed them. But when they wasn't, they had problems. And that is the way with us as well today. When we're obedient to the Lord, he blesses us along the way. And when we're not, we are not blessed so well. I'd like to go here in the book of Revelations, 12th chapter, and read a little. And I'll read verse 1 through 6 here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And so, that's what it was, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 years. That's the Dark Ages. Now this covers, in these 6 verses, quite a span of time. Begins there with Christ, and it ends in 1830. Goes clear up to 1830 A.D. But anyway, she brought a man-child. Now this is the ministry, the authority, is what that really is. It could also include the righteous people as well. But anyway, it's that authority, which is what it is. It's not Christ at all, this man-child. Christ is not the child of the church, but he's the bridegroom of the church. He's our Lord and Savior. Now, the tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them out. Well, you find that back in John, the 12th chapter, where there Jesus speaks of it, that he was cast out at that time. And so, Satan has been busy. Here he is persecuting the church, you know, it takes it into complete apostasy, like the children of Israel were cast out you know, and scattered into the world. They were scattered here and cast out as well. Now, I'd like to go back in the book of Daniel and pick up on some more of this here. Daniel, the 7th chapter. And I'll read a few verses here, and I'm beginning with verse 19 in the 7th chapter of Daniel. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stomped the residue of his feet, and the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now here, you know, when you prevail against somebody, you have conquered them. And that's what happened here. This beast prevailed against the saints. They were no more. They were not the Lord's people. His church was not there. Until the ancients of the day come and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time come that the saints possess the kingdom. And, you know, we did. The kingdom was restored, as we know, in 1829. Again, it was restored here, and how nice it is to be in his church. It's not looked at that way of the world, but I don't know why. But it's because, I want to say, the hardness of the hearts of the people, that they know not of the church, the blindness of their hearts. Now, I'd like to back up here in the 7th chapter of Daniel to verse 7. Now, here, Daniel has this dream, and, you know, he sees these 4 kingdoms. And on the 7th verse, I will read, "And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured in broken pieces, and stomped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there come up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the root, and behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." This is the 4th beast. And this is the one, this is papal Rome, is what it is. But you know, really, the first kingdom he seen was like a lion, and that was Babylon. The next one was Medes and Persian. The next one was Greece. And the last one was the Roman Empire. I shouldn't say last one, but it was the last one mentioned. But you know, that little horn that come up that had eyes and spoke as a man? Well, that was the Roman Catholic Church that we know of as today. That's what it was. As it says, it plucked up 3 of those kingdoms. Now, 10 horns, those were 10 kings that Rome was divided into. 10 kings that it was divided into, each one. The last one that come in was the Lombards. They sacked Rome and finished it, the authority of the Roman Empire at that time in 569 and 570. They were the last kingdom. They were the 10th one. And so that happened in 5 69-570, that when Rome come down and conquered Rome, finished it. All that was left was the popes that were there among them. You know, the name of Pope first come among the people, I think, in 395 A.D. is when the first name of the Pope come. And so, you know, they were the bishops really at one time, or the men in charge. And, you know, the church just went downhill from time to time on after Christ left. And so, anyway, the first horn was plucked up in the year of 755 A.D. The second horn that was plucked up of the ten was in 774. And the last one was in 775. That was the three kingdoms that the Catholic Church plucked up, that great and abominable church. Destroyed, and it become great. You know, the king of France, who made war against the Christians to bring them all to the Pope. And that began really in about 800 A.D. when he did, and they crowned him with a crown. And, you know, the first Crusades were not against the Muslims down in Jerusalem, but the first Crusades was against their own people. They wanted to destroy all beliefs that were contrary to what they were teaching. And so the first Crusades was against the people in Europe that it went against. And they destroyed men, women, and children that were not of their faith. Now, I'm surprised in a way, you know, it speaks of that, the mark of the beast. They give it as a sign of the cross, you know, how they mark the head or what such not. I'm surprised that the people there don't recognize it for what it is, but they don't. Let us move on. I'll go back to Isaiah in the 29th chapter again. And I'll begin on verse 1 here and read a few verses. Woe to Ariel, to Ariel, the city where David dwelt, add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will rise forts against thee. Now, I always kind of like to look at this as what the Americans done to the Native Americans. We built forts against them. But this could also apply to Israel, you know, when Babylon come against the cities, you know, the cities were built up, and they built ramps and forts against them to conquer them as well. And so maybe it applies to both of them, that time and here in America. I don't know which it might really be. It might be both. But I like to give it the thought that it was speaking here against the Native Americans. That's as I look at it. But, you know, as I said, it could be those in ancient Israel that it happened as well. And thou shalt be drawn down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as one that has a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, in my own thoughts, I take this as referring to the Word of God in the Book of Mormon, that it will come out of the dust. And really, it does do that. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away, yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. And so, you know, the great people among the Native American, you know, they disappeared as well as the weaker ones as well. And so that's kind of how I like to think that it's referring basically to the Native Americans of this continent when it speaks that the speech shall be low out of the dust, speaking as I see it, referring to the Book of Mormon. Now, I may be wrong on that, but that's the way I look at it anyway. And so I'd like to skip over here in Isaiah in the 11th verse and read a little bit. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this. I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. Now, in the early church, in 1828, 29, somewhere there, I forget now who was the one that took it to New York, to the learned Professor Anthon was his name. And, you know, he wanted the whole records that he could translate it for him. And the one that had taken it to him said he couldn't because it was sealed. Well, part of it was sealed. In fact, the biggest part of it was sealed. But still, some of it was not sealed. And so we have that which was not sealed, as the Book of Mormon. And so it was done. Verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as if the people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. Now, I think everybody here knows what that marvelous work was that speaks of here, and that is the restoration of the gospel, the restored gospel at that time. That's what that marvelous work was here. And so I kind of look at all of this basically that is speaking here of this country, you know, even back in the early parts of this chapter. Am I right? Well, that's what I look at. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody has better answers than I do. So anyway, that's what it was, you know, that book, as we know. I'd like to turn over and read a verse out of the 14th chapter of Revelation. The 6th verse I would read. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kingdom, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And so this angel is the one that restored the gospel to the ministry back there in 1828 and 29 and 30, along at that time. This is the angel that restored the gospel. And that's the Book of Mormon that we have. And I don't understand why there has not been more people that have not accepted it, but even the Native Americans, when I have talked with them, trying tell them that it was the Church of Christ and such and all. I got shouted down pretty well. They wouldn't have anything of it. They knew the LDS Church was correct. But when you're taught something that is false when you're little and you grow up and you're still taught that all your life, it's hard to break away from that tradition. That's the way it was, really, with Peter and them in the early church. But particularly Peter had that big problem with traditions. And, you know, traditions today, we still have a hard problem with them. But anyway, you know, Peter at first didn't want to take the gospel to the Gentiles after the gospel was restored to him after the crucifixion of Christ. Christ talked to him and showed him quite a little bit. I think far more than what we have. But anyway, he took it to the Gentiles and they accepted it. And but still he had a problem. You know, tradition. And Apostle Paul read him the Riot Act, if you want to put it that way, and set him straight. Because, you know, they wasn't really, in a way, supposed to fraternize and eat with the Gentiles. And Peter was doing that. And when some of the church members come, he withdrew, you know. Even the Pharisees that were converts to the church, they still thought that we must follow the law of circumcision. And it was a hard thing to get away from. But they finally did. And they finally realized that the Gentiles were just as well to be accepted into the gospel as they were. But anyway, here, the gospel is restored by this angel. And we can trace our authority back to that angel. And so I'll go back to the book of Isaiah and read just a little bit more here. Isaiah, on the 17th verse, I'll read a few verses here. It is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. Now, Lebanon was turned back into a fruitful field when the ministry went back there from the restored gospel now, went back there in 1853. And, you know, they left a blessing there upon the land. And that's when the former and the latter rains were returned, was in 1853. And, you know, they were withholding for many centuries prior to that, because Israel had rejected the Lord. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And that's speaking here of our day. People shall see it. The meek also shall increase joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. And make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that have proven the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing a naught. And that's what they done then, and that's what they're doing today. The same thing is they are turning away those that would have righteousness, that want to follow the Lord. And you know, then, if you remember, who was I just thinking, which one of the prophets that put much of the false prophets of Baal to death. What is his name? Anyway, the names flowed away from me. Who?
Elijah.
Elijah, correct. That's who it was. Thank you. And so, you know, it's just like them. They had those that didn't believe in the Lord and didn't want to believe in the Lord and went their own way. Well, we have it today. You know, it's becoming more common all the time. And I don't know what place it was, but someplace they drew up an ordinance in a city that there would be no more Christmas symbols put out in front of the courthouse. And the reason for that was because the atheists were claiming they had a right as well as the Christians. And so they wanted to put up their false gods there before these buildings. And so they made an ordinance that there would be no symbols there at all, whether it was atheist or whether it's Christians. And, you know, I can kind of understand that. But, you know, the atheists then, the gays and whoever they were, become quite popular among the people, made headway. And they had quite a little say, just like they have today, quite a little say. Too much. But anyway, UCLA doesn't like any county, city, state, schools, or anybody have any Christmas celebrations. And, you know, when I went to school, it used to be called Christmas break. But now I think they're calling it winter break. You know, no reference to Christ at all. We don't like it, the atheists come up with. And so they say, if you do, we're going to sue you. It's against the Constitution of the United States. Well, they're not telling the truth. But, you know, I can't blame some of the schools in that. They don't want a great big lawsuit as well. But they just keep making headway among the people. They want to reject the Lord and that, just like the Philistines there. You know, all of this conflict and the slaughter among them because of what they had done. And they acknowledge it was the Lord, the God of the Jews, that smote those in Egypt, that hardened their hearts against the Lord. They wouldn't follow him. Well, we got the same thing today. We got a bunch of atheists that will not humble themselves as they should, as it says. And they turn aside the just for a thing or not. And that's just what they do. They make the poor suffer more. I'd like to go back in the book of Amos here. Amos, the 6th chapter. And I'd like to read a verse there, 6th chapter, in the 10th verse. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the side of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. You know, we got the same thing going on today, just like what they had back in the time of Amos. Not only there, but, you know, among the house of Israel and Judah both, we can't make any mention of the Lord. And that's what we're running in today. You know, they're bringing lawsuits against a number of denominations and people and counties and cities. When you mention the Lord, that's an insult to us. That's discrimination against us. And so, now, with the law that they have passed, which is an evil law, as far as I'm concerned, is this law of discrimination, hate. That's discrimination. So that is worse than a regular crime. And so we have it today. You know, they can discriminate against Christianity, and it's perfectly all right. But you cannot discriminate against any of the gays or sodomites or the atheists or any of these others. You know, that's a hate crime. But it is not a hate crime when they speak against you and tell you that there is no such thing as a God or whatever. Things are out of whack. The Lord will take care of that before too long. I'd like to go back in the book of Jeremiah, the second chapter, and read just a little. Second chapter of Jeremiah, verse 5, I'll start with. This is typical of here today. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither, said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwelt. You know, the Lord, for 40 years, it mentions that the Lord took care of him. But here, at this time, too many people don't want to believe in the Lord. And the Lord is asking them, says, what have they found wrong in me that they hate me? And so that is the way the people are today. You know, the Lord can say the same thing. Why do the people hate me? Well, I don't know. I guess it's the ways of the world. They run into those troubles like that. And when they run into them troubles, the Lord takes his anger out on them after a while. I'd like to go to the book of Zechariah, 7th chapter. Verse 8 here, I'll begin with, in the 7th chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Isn't that what we're supposed to do today as well? Is to be kind to one another, show mercy to one another, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. And that's what we're to do today. We're not to have evil in our heart towards our brothers and sisters. But we're to have compassion and love in our hearts for our brothers and sisters. Verse 11. But they refused to hear. They refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yeah, they can stop their ears pretty easy. You know, they hear, but they reject the word, is really in a way what it means. They don't pay any attention to it. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of the hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, come a great raft from the Lord of hosts. And that is true. A raft did come upon them. They were scattered. It has always been that way among all nations. Rome, you know, the other nations, it's going to happen to this nation as well. But anyway, let me continue on and read verse 13 here. Therefore come a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore come to pass, just as he cried, speaking of the people, and they would not hear, as he cried, the Lord cried, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. And so this is what happens when they cry to the Lord, when they won't follow him. You know, when tribulations come, hard times come, they cry to the Lord for help. But he won't hear them, because in the good times, they went into the world and done what they want. They wouldn't follow the Lord in the good time. But when hard times come, then they cry to the Lord for help. And as he says, as they cried, I wouldn't hear. And so he didn't. They cried, and I wouldn't hear. He cried, and they wouldn't listen. So it's a kind of a merry-go-round, hardness of heart of the people. I'd like to go in the book of Hosea, I guess you'd call that. The 13th chapter. We'll finish up there. 13th chapter, and I'll begin on verse number 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. You know, in the Lord is all our help, even today. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all the cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidest, give me a king and prince. I give thee a king in my anger, and took him away in my wrath. Now that's Saul that's speaking of. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of the children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague, O grave. I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasures of the pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and the women with child shall be ripped up. And so the Lord will be with his people as long as they keep his commandments. And when they don't keep his commandments, he gives them to the whirlwind. They don't have the blessings that they would love to have. As he says, when they cry because of the hard times, they wouldn't hear me in the good times, and I won't hear them in the hard times. I think that applies to us as well, as in all ages this would be applicable. And so we need to follow our Lord and keep his commandments in all things. Thank you.